Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. You will notice a Mishnah, five lines from the bottom. The Mishnah will discuss the issue of someone eating Trumas Chometz on Pesach. Truma is the tithe that one separates from his produce and gives to a Kohen, and that tithe, the Truma, is forbidden for a non-Kohen to eat. In our case, in our Mishnah, we will discuss one who eats Truma that happens to be Chometz on Pesach. One should, of course, be aware that Chometz on Pesach is strictly forbidden in eating, and as far as having any value, that itself is a Machlokes Tanoim, is Chometz Pesach Oser Behano. Another major point to be aware of is that when we speak about a non-Kohen eating Truma, he must compensate, he must pay for what he's done, for he has deprived the Kahuna of a tithe that it rightfully deserves. The Mishnah will make a distinction between one who eats Truma b'shogeg, mistakenly, not realizing that what he's eating is truma, versus someone who eats it knowingly. We should point out that the penalty for one eating truma knowingly, besides the issue of compensation that will be the subject of the Mishnah, it also incurs a penalty of miso bidei shamayim, roughly translated as death at the hands of heaven. That type of punishment is, in a certain regard, is similar as to kores, but it's not the same. Generally speaking, it's viewed as something less severe than kores. That will figure in a point under discussion later in the Gemara. Now, we should also point out that the payment that one makes for eating truma b'shogeg is very different in its nature and in its understanding than the payment one makes for eating truma b'mezid. When one eats truma b'shogeg, he is obligated to pay back with a fruit or vegetation. He's obligated to pay back with vegetation, namely something that itself could become truma. As opposed to a cash payment, money does not become truma. However, in the case of a mazid, a knowing violation, where he knowingly consumes the truma, knowing that it's truma, and he is a non-kohen, the payment there is viewed as a simple financial restitution, and hence a cash payment could figure as the means of restitution. Another fundamental difference is that in the case of eating truma b'shogeg, in addition to being required to pay the principal, one adds what's called a chomesh, a fifth. Not so in the case of eating truma b'mezid. You might say that seems a little bit ironic, where if he did so unwittingly, he's going to end up paying more. So in a manner of speaking, think of it like this. The chumash that one adds is a form of atonement that is deserved by someone who violated in a shogeg, in an unwitting fashion. However, someone who knowingly violates doesn't deserve atonement, and hence the absence of the chumash addition. Now the Mishnah. Ha'oichel trumas chometz bePesach. One who ate truma that happened to also be chometz on Pesach, b'shogeg mishalem keren v'chomesh, if he ate so in an unwitting fashion, not realizing that what he was eating was in fact truma, so he pays the keren, the principal, v'chomesh, and a fifth. B'mezid, if he knew that it was truma, poter mitashlumin umidmei eitzim. In this case, that he's eating truma that happens to be chometz, so he is exempt from paying money, he's exempt from restitution, and if it happened to be truma tamea, truma that became defiled, so that's something that's forbidden to eat. However, truma in general that's defiled, one can use it as a fuel. It has value, fuel value. But here we're talking about truma that happens to be also chometz. So it would seem that this Mishnah is taking the stance that it has no value. Let us take a look at Rashi, who adds a number of points, some of which we already covered in our introductory remarks. The Rashi, at the beginning of the Mishnah commentary, b'shogeg, sheshogag b'truma, he was unaware that it was truma, v'afilu hezid b'chometz, even though he knew that it was chometz, m'shalim keren v'chomesh, he pays the principal and a fifth, the af al-gav, the lohave shavya midi, even though that which he ate has no value, the chometz b'pesach osur b'hanoah, chometz on Pesach is forbidden for one to benefit from it, thereby demonstrating that it has no value. And as a result of that, you might ask, well, if I ate something of no value, why should I have to compensate whatsoever? Mu shogeg de truma. If we skip the bracketed section, two lines in the Rashi, shogeg de truma, we say lav lefi domim mishalem elo lefi midom mishalem. This is a point that will be under discussion in the Gemara. The payment in the case of shogeg is not a value payment, but rather it's a quantity payment, quantity of food that was eaten. Hilchoch lav boser domim mazlin, and therefore we don't look at the actual value. Now let's read the Rashi from the point of the brackets, including the brackets. Rashi had said, mihu shogeg the truma dichtiv, we're in the brackets, dichtiv bei v'chamishisoy yoysef alov v'nosan l'kein es ha-kodesh. We learn from that pasuk, dovor haroy lios kodesh, something, the payment that is, something that is fit to become sanctified, she'eno yochol l'shalem lo hamos elo aperos, in the restitution of shogeg truma consumption, he doesn't pay cash, he pays fruits. And the payment that you make in terms of fruits, the fruits that you pay as compensation, they become truma. So we say that that truma payment is lav lefi domim mishalim. It's not a value payment, elo lefi midom mishalim. It is rather a quantity payment, quantity of fruits that you ate, you now have to pay back. Therefore, we don't pay attention to the fact that it has no value, because it's not a value restitution. It's a quantity restitution. This is all different when it comes to b'mezid, shehezid b'trumo, he knew that it was truma, filo shogag b'chometz, potomeshu tashum, and even if he was unaware that it was chometz, he nevertheless, since he was mezid b'trumo, so he is exempt from payment. Now, his exemption from payment is simply because the mazid situation is in fact a financial value restitution. And since it was chametz, it has no value. The Rashi continues, umi dmei etzim. He doesn't have to pay for its fuel value if it was im truma tameyohi. If it happened to be defiled truma, ein mishalim lo dmei etzim she'oisa ruya lehesek tachas tafshilo. The fuel that it would have been fit to serve as under his pot to light the truma tamea, and it would be the source of fuel for cooking. Mishum the truma mezid ein bo chomesh vein tashlum el kapara. The payment for one eating truma b'mezid knowingly doesn't have an additional fifth, and its payment is not for atonement. The ein nasin truma, and that which you pay that you compensate with doesn't itself become truma. The gabi chomesh, when it comes to chomesh, bishgoga ksiv. The term bishgoga appears, which means it was done unwittingly, so that the added fifth is associated with a shogay consumption. Abu mezid eino elo kishar gazlon be'alma. One who eats truma knowingly, knowing that it's truma, is no different than any general thief. Umishale mois lefi domim. He pays cash and according to the value, velo lefi amido, not according to the quantity that he ate. The chometz pesach lav bar domim. Chometz on Pesach is something having no value. Doser bano, it's something you're not allowed to benefit from. V'af lehesek lo havi chozile, v'lav midi afsede. It's not even fit to serve as fuel. And therefore, the individual who ate truma b'mezid, that happened to be chometz on Pesach, didn't cause any loss, because he didn't eat anything that had any value. We now turn to the Gemara, Tanan Hosam. As you can see, there's a frame section that lasts till the second line from the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Ho'echel truma b'shogeg, mishalim keren v'choymesh. One who eats truma in a state of shogeg, unwitting, unaware that it's truma, he pays the principal and the fifth. Echad ho'echel v'echad ha'shoseh. Whether it be someone that ate truma or drank that which was tithed as truma, v'yechad hasoch, or one who smeared on himself the truma as an anointment, the echad truma tamea, v'yechad truma tahora, whether it be defiled truma or pure truma, mishalem chomesh, he is expected to pay the fifth, the chumsha, the chumsha, and if he had set aside the fifth and then ate that, or then consumed that, he'll have to pay a fifth of the fifth. As we said, that which you set aside to serve as payment for having consumed truma b'shogeg, that which you set aside becomes truma. Therefore, if you went ahead and ate that, so you'll have to add an additional fifth, a fifth to the fifth that you had set aside initially as your initial payment. The Gemara asks a question, and you'll notice the question itself is rather long, and when we eventually get to the heart of the question, you'll notice an Aleph Oy Dilma, the old Dilma we squiggle underline, and then Beis, two sides of the question. But that the question will come to a head only a while later, as we just indicated. So the Gemara is introduced with a topic heading, that we have on the side, the nosei, and we indicate that this goes ad omid beis. It's a rather long topic. Ha'oichel truma b'shoigeg, mishalein keren v'choymesh b'peirois v'lo kesef. One who mistakenly ate truma, he pays the principal and a fifth using fruits, not cash. Ha'im ha'tashlum b'peirois u l'fi mida or l'fi domim. Now, this we already saw in the Rashi, but of course Rashi took it from the Gemara that we haven't learned yet. So the question is raised, when compensation is made for the shogeg achila of truma, is the payment made in terms of value of that which he ate, or in terms of quantity of that which he ate? And once again, we said that the payment is in terms of fruits. We will discover, we're not insisting that he pays back with the same kind of fruits that he ate. That's obvious as we will go into the Gemara. So again, the structure is we have a long question and then the attempts of the Gemara to resolve it. So we begin third line from the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Ibaya Laho Kishu Meshalem. When payment is made for the eating of Truma B'Shogeg, Lefi Midah Meshalem or Lefi Damim Meshalem? Is it in accordance with the quantity that he ate or in accordance with the value of that which he ate? As you can see, we have a bracketed section, and on the side there's a starred note, Tam HaSograyim, the reason for these brackets, Kedei Ladaleg, in order to skip L'Rois Miyad Mahi Hashela, to find out immediately what was the question. B'soch HaSograyim, within the bracketed section, HaGemora Oimeres Ma Eino HaShelah. The Gemara will tell us what we are not asking about. So let us now point out that if we skip the brackets momentarily, you see it says Ki Tiboy Aloch. The question will arise, Deme'ikora Shavya Zuza Ulubisov Shavya Arba. When originally the value of that which he ate was one Zuz. Zuz is a kind of coin, you can say $1. And at the end, when payment time came, Shavi Abor was now then worth $4. So now, let's go over the Gemara again with the brackets. So the question was raised, is it Lefi Mida or Lefi Damim? Kol Hecha Deme'ikora Shavi Arba Zuzi. Any situation where originally the value of that which he ate was worth 4 Zuz. Ulebesof, and before he made payment, the prices dropped, and that which he had eaten then, that was worth 4, is now worth Shavya Zuz, is now worth only 1. Lo Tiboyaloch, there is no question here, Devadai Kidemeikorah Meshalem Lefi Damim. He will certainly have to pay like the value was at the original consumption point, and namely, we will definitely pay attention to the value and expect him to compensate the value. The logora mi gazlan. This is no, he is no worse, no, let's say, more reason for any greater leniency than the case of a thief. This non, and in the case of thieves, we say, kol ha gazlan and mishamim kishas hagzela. All thieves pay according to the value of the item that it was at the time of theft. So that if at the time of theft, or in this case the time of the eating, which is in effect the theft of the truma, it was worth more, and in the course of time it became worth less, he has to pay the greater value. Ki tiboy aloch, the question arises, namely the question of lefi mido or lefi domim arises, to make kora shavya zuza, originally it was worth 1 zuz, that which he ate. If you say that he ate, let's say, a pound of grapes, at which time, which were worth $1, ulebesov shavi arba, and when time for payment came, when he was charged with the obligation to pay the grapes, the pound of grapes was then worth $4. My, what is the din? Lefi mido mishalim. Do we say that he pays according to the quantity? In other words, whereas the Gemara says, the Omale Griva Ochal Griva Meshalem, you ate a Griva. Griva is a name of a measure. So for now, our example, we say, you ate a pound, so pay back a pound. So that, according to this, you pay back a pound of grapes, just like you ate. In terms of value, he's paying something worth 4 times as much. But we say, possibly Lefi Mida, according to the quantity. Oy Dilma Lefi Domi Meshalem. Or do we say you pay according to the value? Bezuza ochal, he ate $1 worth of grapes. So bezuza mishalim, he is now going to pay back $1 worth of whatever. But it's a paying back value. Omar Rav Yosef, Toshma. Now we have a triangle and quite a few of them as we go on in the Gemara. So you'll notice on the side we have a triangle. These are nisyonos lifshod hasheila. These are attempts to rule on this question, to answer the question. בהמשך סימן זה ישמש כעזר לעקוב אחר מהלך הגמרא. As we go on in the sukya, so the triangle will flip over with the point facing down, indicating a dechiya, a rejection of whatever was said, so that we'll be able to keep track of the back and forth style of this Gemara. So we continue. Omar Rav Yosef, Toshma. We attempt to bring proof one way or the other from the following source. Ochal grogros v'shilim lo tamorim. If a person had eaten dried figs, grogros, that were set aside as truma tithed dried figs, and he paid back using dates. Dates are more significant than figs. The source says if he does so, tavol of bracha, he deserves a blessing for paying back that which is more important, more choshuv than that which he ate initially. Iyamrus bishlam lefi mido meshalem. If you take that approach, the quantity approach, namely, in this case, he ate, let us say, a pound of figs, and he pays back a pound of dates. Well, amtu lahachi, therefore, tavo olav bracha, therefore, we say he deserves a blessing. He is praiseworthy. The ochil griva de grogros, he ate a measure of figs, a pound of figs, the shavya zuza, that was worth one zuz, the koyohiv griva de teinim, and he pays back the same quantity, but in terms of dates, the shavya arba, dates are more choshuv, they are more important, and hence they're worth more. So here's a person that violated. He ate truma b'shogeg, having quantity-wise, he ate something that was worth a dollar, and he pays back the same quantity, but in terms of a different item that happens to be worth more. That's very nice. It's praiseworthy. So that's fine. Eloi amris lefi domim mishalim. However, if you say that the payment is in terms of value, so amai tavol of rocha, why do we say that he is praiseworthy? Bezuzo ochal, bezuzo komishalim. He ate a dollar's worth and he's paying back a dollar's worth. So with this in mind, we would like to conclude that it's lefi mida mishalim. The Gemara rejects this, and this rejection takes a couple of lines to develop. Omar Abaye, Abaye will tell you, le'olam lefi domim mishalim. In fact, payment is according to value. V'amai tovoy olav bracha. And then you'll ask, well, then why is he praiseworthy? Why is he praiseworthy in the case where he ate figs and he pays back with dates? He ate a dollar's worth of figs, he pays back a dollar's worth of dates. What's the praiseworthy about that? So we explain the ochal midi, the lo kofetz oleis vine. He ate something that's not in great demand. Literally, it means that customers don't jump upon, meaning people aren't jumping to buy it. He ate figs, and v'kol mishalim, and he's paying back midi the kofetz oleis vine. He's paying back with dates something that customers are very enthusiastic to buy. So that he's compensating, albeit the same value, but he's giving the victim something worth more, something of greater, not in terms of market value, but something in terms of ease of selling. He is giving him something that's easier for him to turn around and sell to others. So for that, he is praiseworthy. Tanan, we again bring a source in. And again, you'll see this is an attempt to resolve that, to conclude that it's lefi midah mishalim. And if you compare the dashed underlining here and before, you can see it's the same direction. Tanan, ha'oichel trumas chometz bePesach b'shogeg mishalim keren v'choymesh. One who ate, this was of course our Mishnah. One who ate truma, but it happened to be chometz, and he ate it on Pesach. So if he did so, b'shogeg, he pays keren v'chomesh, the principal, and a fifth. E amers bishlam olafi midah mishalim. If you say that the payment is based on quantity and not based on value, shapir, so this makes a lot of sense that he has to nevertheless pay, even though it's what he ate was chometz on Pesach. Elo I amres lefi domin mishalim. If, however, you'll say the compensation is a monetary compensation, a value compensation, chometz bePesach bar domim hu, is chometz on Pesach something that has any value? The assumption is no, it has no value. And nevertheless, we see that he does have to pay. So it must be that it's a quantity-based payment. The Gemara says, and here's a rejection in fact, it could very well be that it's a value payment. Ha money, the source, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi Aglili Hi. It's in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Omar Chometz bePesach Mutar Bahano, that even though you can't eat Chometz on Pesach, nevertheless, it's something you are allowed to derive benefit from. So, in that sense, it has, the Chometz has value. Well, Iha Chiemo Seifa, if so, that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, so we continue, and now we read the Seifa, the end of our Mishnah that said, Bemazid, if he ate it, Bemazid, Potter Minatashilmin, Umi Dmei Eitzim. There is no payment that he needs to make, and if it was Truma Tameah, he doesn't pay for the fuel value that ordinary Truma Tameah has. Now, E. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if our Mishnah is in fact in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I might potter minat atashumunu midmei etzim. Why is there an exemption for any form of restitution? The Gemara answers, it really is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and Savar lok Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds like Rabbi Nechunya when it comes to this aspect, namely a mazid consumption of truma, which carries with it a penalty known as misa bidei shamayim. This can be paralleled to the topic that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona has spoken about, and we have actually learned this in a recent shiur, Daf Chof Tes. The Sanya, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona hoyoisei es yoyim hakipurim kishabis litashlumen. Rabbi Nechunya viewed a person who violates Yom Kippur during which he also causes a financial loss, let's say just like one who violates Shabbos in a fashion that also engenders a financial loss to somebody. The classic case that you find in the Shas is someone burnt someone's pile of grain. Madlik es hagodesh. He burnt someone's pile of grain, so he's causing a financial loss and at the same time violating Shabbos. Well, everyone agrees that when it comes to a Shabbos scenario, that since he's chayav misas beis and he's chayav to be put to death at the hands of the court, he is exempt from any financial restitution. We say kum lei b'derabo minei. He is penalized with the more severe penalty, and the taking of one's life is a more severe penalty. His being put to death is a more severe penalty than his paying cash for the grains that he burnt. Well, Rabbi Nechunya extends that idea to a Yom Kippur. You know, Yom Kippur does not carry with it a court penalty, a court-based punishment. Rather, it's Kores, which is a heavenly-based form of death. And Rabbi Nechunya treats that the same way as we do Misas Basin, thereby exempting him from financial restitution. And now Rabbi Yossi Aglili will adopt that to the case of someone eating Truma B'mezid, which has a similar type of punishment, namely Misa Bidei Shamayim. And we mentioned at the beginning of our shir that there are those that seem to parallel Misa Bidei Shamayim with Kores, even though technically speaking, Kores is considered a more severe form of punishment. Nevertheless, here we are paralleling them. We continue in the Gemara with a very long point. Take note of the fact that this point will continue till the fifth line from the top of Omid Beis. Ketanoi, the issue of Lefi Mida or Lefi Domim is a Machloikis Tanoim. The source begins, Ho'echel Trumas Chometz B'Pesach, Poter Min HaTashlumin, Umidmei Eitzim, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. the consumption of truma that happens to be chometz on Pesach is always exempt from restitution. Namely, even b'shogeg, not only b'mezid, but b'shogeg, he's exempt across the boards from needing to pay for it. And that is a reflection of lefi domei mishalem. It's a purely value compensation. And chometz on Pesach has no value. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Mechayev. But Rabbi Yochanan does obligate one to pay. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rabbi Akiva argues, he says, V'chima hano yesh lo ba. What benefit is there? What benefit, meaning, what benefit did the Kohen possibly have in this truma that so and so ate? In other words, it's true, it's chometz bepesach, and it is something that's osur behano. Omar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri le Rabbi Kiva. Uma hano yesh le'oichel truma temeo b'shar ko yamois hashon Hashem shalem. So Rabbi Yochanan argues back to Rabbi Kiva, what value is there to one who eats defiled truma during the rest of the year? Now, defiled truma is also to eat. And yet we know that if one eats defiled truma, he must make compensation. Omar loy, Rabbi Kiva says back, loy. That's what you're arguing is not accurate. Im amris betruma tamei b'shar yemois hashana, if you are arguing your case from the standpoint that truma tamei engenders a payment during the rest of the year, shafa pishein lo bo heter achiloi, granted there is no allowance to eat it, yesh lo bo heter hasoka. It has, hasoka literally means burning or fuel value. And that's why, for that, for eating truma tamei, you have deprived the kohen of something that had fuel value. Toimar bozeh, should you say the same thing in this case of trumas chometz, bepesach she'ein lo bo lo heter achila v'lo heter hasoka. This has no value, not by way of eating, and not even by way of fuel. Ha lema zeh doime, if you want to parallel the case of trumas chometz bepesach to anything, so it would be similar to the trumas tutim v'anovim shenitmeu. If someone has set aside tutim and anovim, different anovim we know are grapes, tutim another type of fruit that he set aside as truma, and they became tomei. She'ein lo ba lo heter achila. It's truma tomei, so it cannot be eaten. V'lo heter asoka. They cannot serve as fuel either. They don't serve as fuel. Therefore, when you're dealing with something that has no value whatsoever, so there's no need to compensate. Now, we want to just add over here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that there is a need to compensate, that's because he's coming from a different assumption, different school of thought, and that is that one pays not according to value, but he pays according to midah, according to quantity. And as we said at the outset, that the issue of lefi domim or lefi midah was a machloikis tanoim. We continue in the source, b'meh devamamurim, b'mafrish truma v'hichmitza. The case of trumas chometz b'pesach that happened to have a truma status to it and is the subject of this machloikes, that would be in a case where he set aside truma, and in a legitimate fashion, he set aside the truma before Pesach. The hichmitza, or he set it aside even on Pesach, and it became chometz. But at the time that he set aside the tithe, it was a legitimate tithe. That's a case where you have trumas chometz. Avol mafrish trumas chometz. If someone set aside something that initially was chometz, and he set it aside on Pesach, as Truma Divra Kol Eino Kedusha, everyone will agree that it doesn't gain any sanctity, any Truma sanctity. The Rashi, Avol Mafrish Trumas Chometz bePesach Kegon Chitim Shechmitzu. If a person says, we're looking at Rashi four lines from the bottom. If a person set aside on Pesach as a Truma tithe some fermented wheat, that's true. Chitim Shechmitzu. Divrei Hakol, everyone will agree. Afilu Rabbi Yosi Aglili Deshori Chometz Pesach Bano. Even according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who says that you're allowed to benefit from Chometz on Pesach. The chazilei lahasoka and chometz would be fit to serve as a fuel. Eino kedosha ulekamen forish time b'shilishmaiten. Even according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, this situation where you set aside something that was chometz and then you try to set it aside as a truma tithe, even Rabbi Yosef Glili will agree it does not become truma. We continue in the Gemara. Tanya idach. We have another Tanaic source, V'nosan l'kein es ha-kodesh. Dovor haroi lios kodesh. When one pays the Kohen, he must pay him with something that is fit to become holy, to become sanctified, like that which you ate originally. Prat, this will come to exclude the case of the Oichel Trumas Chometz bePesach Shepoter Min HaTashlumen Umidmei Eitzim Divrei Reb Eliezer Ben Yaakov. So that the Torah is saying that you will pay the Kohen, and what you pay him is something that must itself become, or fit to become holy, to become sanctified. This Pasuk comes to exclude a case where what you ate was Trumas Chometz on Pesach. In such a case, you're exempt from payment. And if you had eaten Truma Tameah, you would be exempt from the Dmei Eitzim, from the fuel value as well. Rabbi Lozer Chasma Mechayev. He says you do have to pay. You'll notice that this source has an argument that seems to parallel the Tanoim that we just saw before, Rabbi Akiva and Yochman Nuri. Omar lo Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, lo Rabbi Lozer chasma, v'chima hano yesh lo ba. What benefit could the Kohen have had in the Trumas Chometz in the first place? Therefore, there is no benefit that he could have had. It's truma, it's chometz on Pesach, and it has no value. Therefore, there's no need to compensate. Omar loy, Rabbi Lozer chasma, the Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov. V'chima hano yesh lo lochel truma temeo b'sharim el sashon shem ashalim. According to you, that is based on what pleasure could the Kohen have received? Well, we know that during the rest of the year, if someone had eaten Truma Tameah, which is something that you're not allowed to eat, yet compensation is made to the Kohen. Omar loy loy, Rebbe Lozer ben Yaakov answers, not so. In other words, your argument is not accurate. Im amris betruma tameah b'shari mos hashana, if you're going to try to argue from the case of someone who had eaten Truma Tameah during the rest of the year that we know there is payment that's made, the reason for that is she'afal pi she'ein lo bo heter achilo, even though the Kohen would not have been able to eat the Truma Tameah, yesh lo bo heter hasoka, the Kohen would have been able to use that as fuel. Therefore, if I came along, if a non-Kohen came along and ate that, he has to compensate the Kohen. Toimar Bazu, should you say the same thing in this case of Trumas Chometz on Pesach, she'en lo bo lo heter achilo v'lo heter hasoka. It's Chometz, and therefore not only are you restricted from eating it, but you cannot use it as a fuel either. Omar loy, Rebbe Lozer chasma, who says that there is payment for the Trumas Chometz b'Pesach, says af bezu yesh lo bo heter hasoka. In this case, he does have there is a fuel value. The Kohen could have used the Truma Tameah as dog food or as fuel under his pot. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Omar Abaye. Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Kulu Svira Lahu, Chomeis bePesach Osir Bahano. We have three names. Originally, we had two Tanaic sources at the bottom of Omid Aleph. Of the first of those two, we'll call two last sources, we saw Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri together in the same source, and they were arguing. Abaye points out, it's true they were arguing, however, both of them hold that chometz on Pesach is osur behano. It's something you're not allowed to benefit from. So if they agree with that, so what's the basis of their machlokes? And we should point out also, we mentioned too, but Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, who appeared in the last source on Omid Aleph, he too agrees that chometz on Pesach is osur behano, and that is fairly obvious, as you could see in his shita, that one who eats Trumas Chometz bePesach is not obligated to offer any restitution. It's because he ate something of no value. Being that they all agree, so when it comes to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, so what are they arguing about? Ubehopli, either Rabbi Akiva Savar, Lefi Domim Meshalem, Rabbi Akiva, who said that there is total exemption, that's because the payment is a domim, a value-based payment, and Trumas Chometz on Pesach, it has no value. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Savar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who argued with Rabbi Akiva, he holds the fee mida mishalem. The payment is made based on quantity, not based on value. And since a quantity of Trumas Chometz was eaten, a quantity of food must be paid back. So that's Abaye's observation. The Gemara says, Pshita, what that seems to be obvious. So the Gemara answers, Mahu detemo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri nami k'Rabbi Akiva svirolei d'yomar lefi domim mishalem. One might have thought that really Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva agree that the payment is a value-based payment. And if that be the case, and you're dealing with Trumas Chometz on Pesach, which ostensibly has no value, why would Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say that you have to pay? Vosam hainu taimo to call mechayev, and the reason Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you are obligated to pay is mishum desovar lok Rabbi Yosi Aglini, because he holds like Rabbi Yosi Aglini d'amar Chometz Pesach mutar b'hano. Rabbi Yosi Aglini, we have seen already a number of times, he holds that you are allowed to benefit from chometz on Pesach. That being the case, it does have value. Chomash Malon, that's why Abaye came along and told us what he did, namely, not so, that all of them, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri included, along with Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Akiva, hold Chometz Pesach is osur behano'o. So Abaye's observation was critical here, so as to preempt or reject what one might have otherwise thought. The Gemara asks, V'eimo hochinami, well, why not say, yes, in fact, that is the case. Why not say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says you're chayef to pay, holds, in fact, like Rabbi Yosi Haglili, that Chometz Pesach is mutar b'hano'o. The Gemara answers, no, I know that he doesn't hold like that. Im kein, because if Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri held that it's mutar b'hano'o, nehader lei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri l'Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri should have responded to Rabbi Akiva, ki hechid mahader lei Rabbi Lozer chasmo l'Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov. Take advantage of the little arrow that you see to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and that you'll notice that at the bottom of Omid Aleph. Did you not notice that Rabbi Lozer chasmo, who said that you do have to compensate in the case of eating Trumas Chometz bePesach, because you can use it as fuel or as dog food? he, Reb Elazar Chasma, held that it has value. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, in his argument in the previous source against Rabbi Akiva, should have said the same thing, but he didn't say that. So that shows us that Reb Elazar Chasma alone holds that it has value. It has, there's a heter hanah. However, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, he agrees with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that Chometz Pesach is Osir Behanah. Just to repeat ourselves, because otherwise, if Rabbi Yochanan Nuri held that it was Mutter Behanah, that he holds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, would have answered Rabbi Akiva the same way that Rabbi Elazar Chasma answers back Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Before we continue in the new discussion, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, Shi'urei Achilas Truma L'chayev Ho'oichel B'keren V'choymesh. How much, in terms of the minimum amount, how much Truma would one have to have eaten illegally in order to become Chayev to pay the principal and a fifth? Tono Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source in which you'll see two opinions. Ha'oichel kizayis truma mishalim keren v'choymesh. One who eats, a non-Kohen who eats an olive quantity of truma during the rest of the year, we're not focusing right now on Pesach, but during the rest of the year, he pays keren v'choymesh. Abba Shaul Omer, ad shiehei bo shove pruta. He says payment is not made until that which he ate has a market value of a pruta. Shove pruta, worth a pruta. Pruta is generally understood to be the smallest amount of, smallest coin, smallest amount of what we'll call market or cash value that you could exchange it for money. In the meantime, the Tanakhama emphasizes a kezias quantity, and Abba Shaul emphasizes value. My time of the Tanakhama, what's the basis of the Tanakhama saying that for eating a kezias, that is enough to mechayev, to obligate someone in paying the principal and a fifth? Omar Kraw, you'll notice that we're using a squiggle underline on the next few lines to emphasize the opinions of the Tanakhama and Abba Shaul as we go back and forth in this discussion. So the Tanakhama, what is his reason based on? Omar Kraw, v'ish ki yoichal kodesh bishgoga. The continuation of the pasuk is v'yosef chamishisoy olo v'nosan l'koynes ha-kodesh. We dashed underline yoichal. And we know the achila b'kezayis, when the Torah uses the expression achila, eating, the minimum quantity that constitutes the act of eating is an olive quantity. V'abba shol, my taimo. And what about Abba Shaul? Omar kro v'nosan. The posuk said, and that you'll notice that's the continuation of the posuk that we had written in between the lines. The posuk uses the word v'nosan. And you shall give, you shall compensate. Ve'ein nesina pochus mishove pruta. The concept of nesina is a financial-based idea, indicating that it has to have a minimum value of a pruta. Ve'idoch nami ha'ksiv yochal. Well, Abba Shaul, who emphasized the value, what does he do with the presence of the word yochal in the pasuk? Answer. Hahu prat lemazik hudaasa. Payment of keren v'chomesh is true when you eat it, as opposed to, and prat means to the exclusion of, a case of someone who ruined, who damaged the truma of a kohen. Where someone damages it, so he pays only the keren, he pays the principal, he does not add a fifth. The Tanakhama hoksi v'nosan, the Tanakhama who didn't seem to pay attention to value, he said as long as he eats an olive quantity, even if it doesn't have a pruta value, he nevertheless has to compensate. So what does he do with v'nosan? Ahu, so the Tanakama uses that, Miboyale, he needs it for Ledover Haroi Lios Kodesh. That what you offer as compensation must be vegetation, something that itself can become truma, as opposed to cash. Tonu Rabbanan, Ha'oichel truma pochos mikizayis, one who eats truma, but a quantity less than an olive quantity, mishalim es hakeren veinu mishalim es hachoymish. He pays the principal, but he does not add a fifth. Heichi domi. Well, what are the circumstances here? E deles bei shoved pruta. If it doesn't have even a pruta's worth of value to it, so keren nami lolishami shouldn't be obligated to pay the principal either. The e de is ba shoved pruta, and if that which he ate has a shoved pruta's worth of value, chomesh nami lishalim, let him add a fifth as well in his payment. The oilom de is ba shoved pruta, the case in this source involves something that had a shoved pruta worth of value, vafilu hachi, but even so, kevan de less bay kezaya, since it lacked the olive quantity, mishalim es hakeren, v'eino mishalim es hachoymish. He pays only the principal and does not add a fifth. And the reason for this is because the term achila appears in the pasuk. As we saw before, v'ish ki yoichal kodesh bishgaga. Amrua rabbonon kamei derav papa. So this discussion was stated in the presence of Rav Papa, and they said, and notice we squiggle in line Amru Rabbanan. When you see this type of Gemara structure that so and so said in front of, inevitably or very often you will find a response, and you can see that two lines later where it's we squiggle in line again Omar Luhu Rav Papa. Rav Papa responds to them. So they said to Rav Papa, "Ha delo kaba shol." This source that exempts from a chomesh addition in the case of eating something less than a kezias, and we, by the way, we establish it as it having a shoved pruta. That's why we dashed underline the phrase "the is ba shoved pruta." Well, this source is not like the Tana Abba Shol. If it were in accordance with Abba Shol, Omar, did he not say Kevan Shiesh Ba Shoved Pruta Afagav the less Bei Kezias? Abba Shol indicated that the only factor that we take into consideration is that it has a Shoved Pruta worth of value, even if it lacks the quantity of a Kezias. So the Rabbonan who spoke in front of Rav Papa, they concluded that the source is unlike Abba Shol. Omar Luhu Rav Papa. Afilu Tema Abba Shol. This source could be in accordance with Abba Shol. Abba Shol Tarti Boi. Abba Shol requires both elements, both characteristics, namely, it has to have an olive quantity and a Shoved Pruta as well, in order for there to be a chiyuv, an obligation to pay principal plus a fifth. And in this case, it was less than a kezias. So granted, it had only a market value of a shoved pruta, that's not enough to obligate the offender in adding a fifth. The Gemara asks, Umi boy Abba Shol Tarti? Does Abba Shol in fact require both characteristics before imposing the Keren V'Chomesh payment? V'Hotnan, we have the following source. And on the side of the Gemara, we also point out under our Tatnosei, Birushitas Abba Shol Binyan Shiurei Achilas Truma. We're trying to clarify what's Abba Shol's opinion on this matter of quantities of truma that need to be eaten it before the quantity, the minimum quantity, in order to mechayev someone in payment. So we have the following source where Abba Shol says, Abashol Omer, es sheyesh bo shove pruta, chayov betashlumen. Es she'ein bo shove pruta, eino chayov betashlumen. If it has a shove pruta's value, he pays. If it doesn't, he doesn't pay. Omru lo, those that argue with Abashol said, lo omru shove pruta, el inyan me'ila bilvad. The issue or the necessity of market value is something that has relevance only to the mi'ilah violation, where one derives personal benefit from something that was sanctified. Aval l'truma eino chayav ad shiyehe bo kezayis. But as far as truma is concerned, the Rabbanan said, there is no obligation until there is an olive quantity. Now, we have to focus on Abashol. Ve'im Isa, if it were so that Abashol requires both, not only a kezias, but also a shove pruta, then the language should have been kevon sheyesh bo kezias miboya lei. That since there is a kezias, he is obligated to pay. But he didn't say that. Abashol said, if it has a shavah pruta, he's obligated, and if not, not. Making no reference to the need for having a kezias, an aleph quantity. Let us glance at the Rashi, Le'inyan Mi'ila. You'll find it on the upper half of the page. Le'inyan Mi'ila. Benene Mehekdish Govoa. One who derives personal benefit from something was sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. Dosam Lok Siv Achila. There, you don't have the term Achila. Aval L'Truma, when it comes to Truma, Afilu Yesh Bo Shove Pruta, even if it has a shove pruta worth of value, ein chayav ad shiye bo kezayis. According to the Chachomim, there is no obligation unless there is also an olive quantity. Michlau, we can infer, baba shol afagav deleko kezayis. Even if it doesn't have an olive quantity, as long as it has a shove pruta worth of value, that's enough to obligate compensation. Dim Isa de Tarti boy, if it were so that Abashol requires both, then Ubiyesh bo Kezias koi Abashol, and Abashol in describing the need to pay is talking about a case of something that has a Kezias quantity, the Koomar, and he would be saying the Afagav, the is bay kezias, even though there is an olive quantity, bo'inon pruta, you need to have a pruta's worth of value, hochi have le lememar, then Abashol should have said, kevon diyesh bo kezias chayav. In other words, working with the assumption that you're dealing with something that has, that Abashol was speaking about a case where there was a kezias, so he told us, if it has a shove pruta to it, since it also is a kezias quantity, so he's obligated to pay. But he didn't say all of that. He totally dismissed any reference to kezias. What does this show us? It shows us that Abashol focuses on one element, one point, and that is value. Shove pruta. Well, that having been said, tufta, that is a refutation of Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, just before this source, he had said that the source we saw above, where he was obligated to pay the Karen and not the Chomesh, is because it lacked a Kezias, and that could have been in accordance with Abashol, because Abashol requires not only value, a Shove Pruta, but he also requires that there be a Kezias in terms of quantity. We see from here, from this last source, and the language that was featured in the source, that Abishol does not require both. That's a repudiation of Rav Papa Tufta. And now the Gemara embarks on a very long point. And we have a long point marking showing you how far this goes. And it goes quite a way, number of lines down, 9-10 lines down, Lamed Gimel Omed Aleph. What's the point? The Afrav Popa Hodar Bey, Rav Popa himself reversed his opinion, retracted his contention that Abba Shol requires both a Kezias and it being worth a Shofar Pruta. Desanya. And as we said, we have to go through a long piece of Gemara before we can see that Rav Papa retracts. So we have a source, Desanya, and this opens up with a pasuk in the context of Me'ila. Me'ila, as we mentioned earlier, is the Torah prohibition of deriving personal benefit of things that were sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says, V'chata b'shkaga, prat l'mezid, to the exclusion of someone who violates Mila knowing that the item was sanctified. Now, we should point out that when we speak about Mi'ila, not only must Hegdish be compensated, but there is also an obligation to bring a sacrifice. We call it an Asham Mi'ilos. This Pasuk is referring to to that situation where in addition to compensation he also brings a sacrifice. And the Pasuk emphasizes Bishgaga, that when is the sacrifice brought? That's when he violated the Mi'ila prohibition unknowingly, to the exclusion Prat Lemezid. The Gemara, this Brisa asks, Bahalo Din Hu? I know on my own that Mezid, that a knowing violator is exempt from the sacrifice. Why do I need a Pasuk to convey that? Uma sha'ar mitzvahs shechayev bohen kores poter bohen es hamezid. Mind you, other mitzvahs that engender a kores penalty in the event that someone violated them knowingly, yet they are exempt from a sacrifice. Mi'ila she'ein ba kores, mi'ila, which is a seemingly less significant type offense, insofar as a person who knowingly violates mi'ila is chayav misa bidei shamayim, death at the hands of heavens, which is considered at this moment, is considered less than kores. So mi'ila, which is a less severe type offense, eino din shepoter as amazed, certainly one who violates mi'ila knowingly will be exempt from a korban. So what do I need a special pasuk by Mi'ila to tell me that point? The Gemara says, "Loi, not so. I need the pasuk. Im amris b'shar mitzvahs shekein lo chayav ben misa. Toimar b'Mi'ila shechayav bo misa." Now here we have something that is—it's almost impossible to understand just by translation. The Gemara will be preoccupied with explaining this source, but in the meantime, we have to translate. So the reverse in this source is saying that, listen, it's true that in other mitzvos there's an exemption of a korban when they are violated b'mezid, because other mitzvos don't engender a misa bidei shomayim penalty. Toimar b'me'ila, should I say there's an exemption in the case of me'ila b'mezid shechayev bo misa? That carries with it a misa bidei shomayim punishment, which would show us that Misa B'nei Hashem is more chomor than Kores. Talmud Loimar, therefore I need a Pasuk, Bishgaga, Prat L'mezid. I need the Pasuk to say Bishgaga, that the only time that in Mi'ila one will bring a korban is if the transgression took place in an unknowing fashion, as opposed to Mezid. The Omar Le Rav Nabritzok L'Rav Chiyo Bar Ovin. And Rav Nachman pointed out to Reb Chiya, "Hi Tana, this Tana. This Tanaic source, Meikara Alimo Leikares, at the beginning of his argument, he presents Kares as being, Alimo means stronger, more severe. Ulvasof Alimo Le Misa. And at the end, he seems to reverse his position, claiming that Misa B'dei Shemaim is more severe than Kares. The Omar Le Hochi Komar. And Rav Chiya Bar Oven answered, thusly one is to understand the source. Now, at this point, we introduce a diamond, and on the side under the Mivneh, we indicate that these diamonds, and there will be several of them as we continue down Lamed Gimel Amed Aleph, these are Yishuvim, these are resolutions, Liyashev HaShibush Bamakor, to resolve the seeming mistake in the source. In other words, the source began claiming that Kores is more severe than Miso B'dei Shemayim, and as the source continued, it posed Miso B'dei Shemayim as being more severe than Kores. B'chol Echod Marim Chumra B'Me'ila. In each one of the sources, we're going to have to show how Me'ila is more stringent than other offenses, and even so, if one violates Me'ila B'mezid, he will not be obligated to bring a sacrifice. Matras HaGemara HaMiyodi, the initial goal of the Gemara, the immediate goal of the Gemara, Laharesh Rav Papa Hodarbe, to show that Rav Papa retracted his explanation of Abba Shol. Acharkach HaGemara Tamshich Lahavi Yishuvim Noisofim L'Shibush D'Liel. Later, the Gemara will introduce more resolutions, more explanations of this Me'ila source, as we will see. So that we have to focus on the immediate project at hand, and that is to show how Rav Papa retracted his explanation of Abba Shol as requiring both a Shiur Kezias and a value of Shava Pruta before being obligated to pay Keren V'Chomesh. So we continue in the Gemara. The Omar Le, Rav Chiya Bar Oven says back to Rav Nachman, Hochi Komar, thusly we are to understand the source involving Me'ila. Loi. Yim Amris B'Sha'ar Mitzvus. Shekein Lo Chiev Bohen Misa B'Pochus Mikazayas. In other mitzvos, it is true that if one does it b'mezid, he is not obligated to bring a korban. That's because they have an element of leniency to them, that, namely, that if you violate them, let's say it's an eating type sin, eating chelev, for example. Chelev is a substance, forbidden fats in an animal, that if one eats them, the chelev, he has to bring a korban if he violates it b'shogeg, and if he violates it b'mezid, so we're saying he doesn't bring a korban. So in other mitzvos, in other prohibitions, chelev as an example, he's not obligated, he's not in violation if he eats less than a kezias. Let's read that line again. Lo imamris b'shar mitzvos shekein lo chaya ben misa b'pochos mikezias. In other offenses, here the term Misa is used, so it may be more accurately as a reference to Miso B'dei Shemayim. So we would talk about eating for a Zar to eat Truma. He wouldn't be Chayav if he eats less than a Kezias. Toimar b'me'ilo shechayav bo Miso b'pochos mikezias. Being that that's the case, that one in Me'ilo is Chayav at less than, and even less than a Kezias, so maybe if he was violating Me'ila B'mezid, he does have to bring a korban. Therefore, I need the pasuk to tell me V'chotah B'shkoga that he's exempt. The Omar Lay and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, upon hearing this explanation or this rereading of the source, says, Tonuach Da'itcho Shinachta Es Dati. You should be comforted as a result of your having comforted me. Now, I feel at rest. You gave a nice explanation for the source. And hence, the reason that we need the pasuk to exempt the mezid from a chiyuv korban. The Omar Lay, and Reb Chiya says back, Mai Nichusa, What are you thanking me for, so to speak? What comfort have I really offered you? The Rab of Rav Sheshes Shodu Beinarga. Rabba and Rav Sheshes, they cast an axe into what I said. Well, what's the axe? How did they ruin his argument? Man Shamisle de Omar Hezid Bimila Bemisa. In this source, we made reference to someone who was mazed in the case. Mina was being chayav misa. Who holds that? Rebbe, he. That is the opinion of Rebbe. Desanya hazed b'mi'ila. Rebbe Omer b'misa v'chom Omer b'azora. My time of the Rebbe, and what's the basis of Rebbe holding that someone who knowingly violates mi'ila, knowing that something has been sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, goes ahead and derives personal benefit, that he's chayav misa, death at the hands of heaven. What is Rebbe's source? Omer Rebbe Avo, Gomar, Chet, Chet, Mitruma. He has a gzera shava, a word comparison, that runs between the topic of mi'ila and the topic of truma. Ma truma b'misa, just like truma engenders a misa bidei shamayim, punishment for someone who was a non-Kohen and ate it. And Rashi quotes the Pasuk on the third line from the top, Lo yisu alav chet umesu bo. So just like Truma has a Misa punishment associated with it, Af Mila b'Misa, so too Mila engenders a Misa penalty. Umina. And from that comparison, we continue. Ma Truma b'Kezayis, Af Mi'ilah b'kezayis. So too mi'ilah is violated only if one eats a minimum of a kezayis. Notice we have a little star here that indicates Lamed Beis Amid Beis. You go back to the second line from the bottom of Lamed Beis Amid Beis, and you can see that we had that Rav Chiyo Bar Oven had tried to explain the case involving mi'ilo, which is something that has a chiyuv misa, but that it's chayav even less than a kezayis. Here, you see that since the din of mi'ilo is derived from truma, mi'ilo is not chayav at less than a kezayis. It would have to be a kezayis. Umaskif lo Rav Papa. Now Rav Papa enters the picture, and he challenges the approach of Rabbo and Rav Sheshes. He challenges the axe throwers, so to speak. Mimai de Rebbe kirabonon svirole. Who says that Rebbe has to hold like the Rabbonon that would require a kezayis in truma? Dilma Kaaba shows svirole. Maybe Rebbe, who holds that there's a chiyuv misa for mi'ila, holds like Abba Shol, the Omar Yesh Bo Shav Eprut Afagav the Less Bo Kezayis, that even if it lacks a kezayis, like the original restatement of Rav Chiya Bar Oven had said, where the star, second line from the bottom of Omid Beis, of the previous Omid Beis, Pochos Mi Kezayis, that's legitimate. If you parallel Rebbe to Abba Shol, Abba Shol holding that one is chayav for truma at less than a kezayis, so Rebbe might in fact hold like that. And if you say thusly, so then Rav Chiya Bar Oven's reasoning is good, and therefore we can keep his rereading, and hence that's the reason that because of this severity associated with mi'ila that is chayav at even less than a kezayis, that's why I need a pasuk to show that if he's bemazed, even though mi'ila is so severe, he's exempt from the sacrifice. What's the main point? And that's why we use the dash underlining. Abba Shol is being presented as holding that in the case of truma, or in the case of mi'ila, all that matters is that it has a shove pruta to it. And there is no obligation or no insistence upon there being a a kezias quantity. The Gemara asks, well, how can Rav Papa be the one to say this about Abba Shaul? V'hol Rav Papa hu di Omar, but it's Rav Papa himself that said the Abba Shaul tarti boy. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align that with the arrow on Lamed Beis Amid Beis, where Rav Papa had said tarti boy, that Abba Shaul requires a kezias as well as a shavat pruta. But here, Rav Papa himself is presenting Abba Shaul as holding, as long as there's a shavat pruta, even if it doesn't have a kezias. So we have to therefore conclude that Abba Shaul retracted. So at this point in the Gemara, if we just take a look at the overview of this sukya, we had started on Lamed Beis Amid Beis with a source that spoke about eating truma that's less than a kezias, that one pays keren and does not pay chomesh. In the course of that discussion, we established that we were dealing with truma that had a shaveh pruta worth of value, otherwise there would be no need to pay the keren. So we're talking about eating truma that has a shaveh pruta, and it's less than a kezias. Rav Papa, as opposed to those that were present with him, Rav Papa took the stand that that source could be authored by Abba Shaul, and that Abba Shaul, before one is chayev to pay keren b'chomesh, requires both. There be a kezias as well as a shaveh pruta. The Gemara then challenged that, is that really so? That Abba Shaul requires both? We then demonstrated from a source that followed, we showed that Abba Shaul says no. All that matters is that there be a shaveh pruta. And then the Gemara demonstrated that Rav Papa himself retracts from his interpretation of Rav Papa as requiring both. And therefore, the source that says one who eats truma that's less than a kezias pays the keren and that does not pay the chomesh, and that's because it's lacking a kezias, that would then be like the Rabbonon's approach that spoke in front of Rav Papa and said that that source was not like Abba Shaul. And as we saw in this long point, that we demonstrate how Rav Papa in fact retracts from that original stance of his, that Abba Shaul requires both, and we conclude not so, but Abba Shaul says that all the make or break factor in requiring payment of keren v'chomesh is that it has a shaveh pruta worth of value. Just a technical point that we should mention before going on in the Gemara, a point that we assumed as we were going through the sugya, but since we made a review of this, we should point out that the dinim of Me'ila are derived from the dinim of Truma. Abba Shaul originally appeared in an explicit fashion concerning the topic of Truma. The Gemara was then was working with the topic of Me'ila, in which Rebbe's opinion appeared, and we saw how we were learning the topic of Me'ila from the topic of Truma, hence these two topics were being spoken about in interchangeably as we were going through the Sukkiah. We have now some more diamonds. They are rereadings of the source that found it necessary to have a pasuk exempting a mazid violation of Me'ila from the need of bringing a sacrifice. So we continue. Mor bre deravna omar hochi ko'omar. Again, this diamond should enable us to go back and see what we are trying to reread. So let's continue. We thought that it would be obvious, even without a pasuk, that a mazid me'ilah violation would be exempt from a sacrifice. Then the source went on to say, loy im amris b'sh'ar mitzvois shelo also behen she'ein miskavein kimiskavein. You can't derive me'ilah from other mitzvos, because in the realm of other mitzvos, where we say there's there's an exemption of a sacrifice when they are violated, but mazid, because the nature of other mitzvahs is as follows. We do not equate someone who does something unintentionally with someone who does something intentionally. She'im niskavein lachtoich es hatolush v'chotach es hamechubar shepoter. Let us say you're dealing with Shabbos, which is an example of other mitzvos. Let us say person has an intention to cut something that's detached from the ground. There's nothing wrong with cutting something that's detached from the ground. But the chotach es hamechubar ends up cutting something that is attached to the ground. Shepoter, he would be exempt from needing to bring a sacrifice on Shabbos, in a case like that on Shabbos. Toimar b'me'ilah, would you say the same thing in the case of me'ilah? Shem niskavim l'schamim b'gizei chulin, v'nischamim b'gizei oila shemo'al. If a person had his mind on warming himself up with some wool shearings that were non-sanctified, chulin, common wool shearings, that would have provided him with a feeling of warmth. And in reality, or in fact, he derived his benefit, his warmth, from sanctified shearings. Gizei Ola, and Ola is an Ola sacrifice that was shorn, and that those Gizim are sanctified, and he's in violation of Me'ilah. Therefore, we see that Me'ilah is more severe than other areas of Halacha, and therefore, without the Pasuk, I wouldn't have known that he is exempt from a korban in the case of mazid. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omar Hochi Komar. Rav Nachman has a different approach to explaining that source, and he says, Loi im amris b'shar mitzvahs shekein lo mischayev bohen she'ein misasek kemisasek. With regard to other mitzvahs like Shabbos, a person would be exempt if he is what we call misasek. What does that mean? And here, this is illustrated. She'im niskavein lehagbia es hatolush. If a person had an intention to pick up something that was detached from the ground, he thought he was picking up a loose tomato from the that had fallen on the ground. And as he picks it up, it turns out v'chotach es hamechubar. He ends up detaching it from the tomato vine to which it was attached. Shepoter, since this person has initially had his intention was for picking up and not for cutting, he is exempt. Tomar b'me'ilah, would you say the same thing about me'ilah under similar circumstances that he ends up being chayev? Tomar b'me'ilah she'im ha'yishit yodoy likli litol chefetz. A person inserted his hand into a vessel in order to extract an item, an article from that vessel. And lo and behold, it turns out that the vessel had oil in it. V'soch yodo b'shemen shel kodesh. And his hand got smeared with sanctified oil, she mo'al. That is considered a me'ilah violation. So being that even though you had no intention for the act of sicha, nevertheless, since you're dealing with something sanctified, he is in violation of me'ilah, unlike the case with regard to other mitzvot, that under such circumstances he would be exempt. So it could be that in the case of a mazid with regard to me'ilah, he would need to bring a sacrifice. Therefore, the Torah says, the chata bishgaga, that only in the case of shogeg does one bring a sacrifice in a mi'ilah violation. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.